listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Peter Husey. He is president of Geostrategic Analysis, a man who has served on Capitol Hill and in various other capacities, notably as a National Security Affairs Senior Fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council. He's also a senior defense consultant at the Air Force Association, and always welcome on our program. Peter, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Frank, for the invitation.
We wanted to visit with you because you have been focusing intensely of late on an issue of great concern to me as well, and that is the vulnerability of our electric grid and all of the critical infrastructures that depend upon it. I'd like to talk with you about sort of the various components of the threats to that grid and maybe a little bit about kind of the implications, if any of them eventuate. Can we start with this episode in the substation outside of San Jose, California, last April, a year ago? And what did that tell us about the danger of physical attacks on the grid?
Well, you have a grid that's basically exposed and it's owned by a multiplicity of people. So you got two problems. One, very difficult to protect, and there's no one person to go to protect it. And when you have, using high-powered rifles, can wipe out, you know, go after transformers, go after relay switches, then you have the cyber problem, then you have solar storms, and then the biggie, which is a nuclear detonation at about 70 kilometers above the Earth's surface could fry our transformers. And the utilities look up and say, oh, God, I can't deal with all those. So we've basically been pretending that the problem doesn't exist and yet looking to the government to solve it.
The problem is as you say, compounded because it's not just that the grid's various component parts are to varying degrees very vulnerable to physical attack, but there is this cyber thing, and Reuters just in the past day or so has had a report about the extent to which there is a vulnerability. It doesn't name the utility in question, but that it was hacked. Its control system was hacked, mm-hmm. according to the Homeland Security Department. How serious a problem is the cyber threat to these very critical assets?
Well, if you remember, a number of years ago, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Chinese had hacked into the East Coast grid, and they thought it was a dry run to see what kind of control they might have, because they could, this is something where if you have someone getting into a cyber attack where they just turn a switch and the grid goes down, that's a serious problem. But again, Frank, you know this town, we haven't yet had a debate as to, we haven't even decided it's a serious enough problem to go about and say, okay, how do you solve it? And that's why I think the recent Federal Energy Regulatory Commission told the utilities, tell us what you would do to deal with solar storms. Mm-hmm. And they came back and invented a solar storm scenario which would only affect 10 kilometers at one time, very localized. And they said, oh, we deal with that all the time. Don't worry about it. So they invented a problem that doesn't exist because they can already solve it. So all this effort for the last, 4 years, 5 years, to get them to look at just solar storms with respect to the grid, it's right, we're back to square one. And they didn't peer review their assessment.
Well, I want to address that problem of the solar storms and the inadequacy of the response. But before we leave the other threats, man-caused threats, Peter, you mentioned the big one, electromagnetic pulse, something mm-hmm. that various nations, you've developed considerable expertise on matters involving nuclear forces. Give us a sense of how many countries you think could conceivably have the capacity to inflict a high-altitude electromagnetic pulse strategic attack on the grid of the United States?
Good question. The Russians have told us in no uncertain words directly to our members of Congress that had a delegation visited them back in around, I think, 2003. They said, if you don't kind of do what we want in some areas and get too rambunctious, we're going to detonate a sea-launch ballistic missile 70 kilometers above New York City or Washington, D.C., and it'll detonate, and you won't know who it is because it'll come from a submarine. The Chinese can do that, and the worry is the North Koreans have launched rockets in a southerly direction, the last launch they had, which actually did go over the United States. So, and we have no radars looking south, as you know. So my worry is that they might pass this off to an Iranian the IRGC, and they would then use that from a freighter offshore.
So these are all
countries.
Serious bad guys, and
yes.
Clearly their capacity and antipathy towards us is something we can't ignore.
Right.
To the extent that one or the other of these man-caused attacks were to occur, or for that matter, Peter Husey, we were to see a solar event of the character of what's been called the Carrington event, something that happened last in 1859, what kind of damage, in your best professional judgment, would likely result to the grid and to the society?
Well, I'm going to give you some news that is not now public, but as I learned yesterday. Idaho National Labs did a test of a substitute grid. What would happen with solar storms? They thought originally just transformers would go down. They have now found out there's two additional problems. The generating capacity, meaning coal-fired plants, nuclear-fired plants, and coal-fired plants would also go down, but then there's another kicker. The customer's technology, meaning data centers, power pumps, the things that people use that actually are generate electricity, to get their electricity from coal, nuclear, or gas, they would go down as well. It's called customer equipment. So customer equipment goes down, the generating system goes down, and the transformers all go down. And the National Labs at Idaho, which tested a technology to deal with solar storms and said it works, you can deal with this. And this is where it gets interesting, Frank. The industry today, the utilities, spend about $400 million a year dealing with solar storms. The cost. It's buying energy at the margin because they have to power down the grid.
These are relatively small storms, much smaller than
the ones
the
that you see
class.
That go on every day.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a real big one, as you said, since about the middle of the 19th century. The cost of fixing the 3,000 top transformers is about $600 million max. So in less than 2 years, it's a one-time cost. They could fix, for what they now pay, they could save that entire amount of money, use it to fix the grid, and it would solve the problem with the big solar storms. And they'd have $200 million a year left over, and then the next year, they save everything. Talk about a great investment.
No, it is. It makes a lot of sense to me. Peter, just now go back, if you would, against that backdrop. We've got the man-caused threats. We have a naturally occurring phenomenon that's supposed to take place roughly every 150 years. And you say that the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, the so-called NERC, which sets standards for the industry, it's a kind of sweetheart deal, it's basically a trade association, has come up with a seriously dumbed-down standard in response to this request from federal regulators?
How long does a solar storm take to get from the sun? It's 93 million miles. It travels at about 7 million miles an hour. That's the one in 1850. That means 12 hours it gets here. They're now using a standard of less than a million miles an hour, meaning we have weeks and weeks to prepare for it, and they can just shut the grid down. That's their answer. If there really is a bad storm, we'll just shut the grid down. Can you imagine what would happen to America if you shut the grid down in hospitals, the FAA flying systems, the computers, waterworks? So,
and how long would the storm effects last, Peter? If you were to shut it down?
They said, we believe that a solar storm would basically last a few hours, would be limited to 10 kilometers, and we can deal with that today. So what's the problem? And they just invented, and when people asked them, did you peer review your conclusions, which are required under their charter, they said no. And they were asked, are you going to peer review it? Because there's no study that is known to man that justifies what they said. They said, no, we're not going to peer review it either.
Peter Husey, we have to leave it at that. I'm sorry to say, for the moment, we will come back to you because this is such an important story. And really, what you've just described is kind of a microcosm of how this industry has been trying to lowball or otherwise mislead people about the vulnerability to assets that you'd think they first and foremost would be determined to protect. Peter, thank you for the work you do at the Air Force Association and elsewhere, and keep it up. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. And in the meantime, I hope the rest of you will keep coming back to us again tomorrow.
Well,
same time,
Frank,
same station.
For all you do.
Till then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.